Woo! At the same time, we want to be sensitive to those women who are struggling today for one way or another, because they're in less than ideal situations. There are some women who would love to be moms, long to be moms, but for some reason or other, they can't be. We need to be sensitive to them, even as we celebrate our moms. There are some women whose children have gone home to be with the Lord. Others whose children are wandering far, far from the Lord. So while we celebrate our mothers and honor them and love them, let's also remember those who are in less than ideal situations and pray for them. Well, as we transition now to God's Word, on Mother's Day, let's get acquainted with the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, particularly of your woman. You're thinking, oh, no, not another message on superwomen. How can I measure up to this woman? Well, we're not going to look at the Proverbs 31 woman, whom we find beginning in verse 10. We're going to listen to the overlooked Proverbs 31 woman, the other Proverbs 31 woman that nobody pays attention to, whom we find in verses 1 through 9. So let's listen to the words that the mother of King Lemuel taught him. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who rule in kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. These are the words of the overlooked Proverbs 31 woman. And today, we're going to pay attention to her. Let's pray as we prepare to experience God's Word in action. Lord, give us understanding of your Word. The word we have just read, may it enter our hearts and find its way to our hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, Christian songwriter and singer Sarah Groves released an album entitled Tell Me What You Know. And the first track is entitled Song for My Son. And Sarah explains that her thinking behind what led her to write that song, Song for My Sons. She says, I wondered how my kids would finish the statement. My mother always said, what would they say besides, you get what you get, don't throw a fit, and that doesn't fit in your nose. I would hope that there was something that stood out as the message of my life. How would you finish that statement? My mother always said. And moms here today, how would your children finish that statement? My mother always said. Well, in Proverbs 31, King Lemuel finishes that statement. King Lemuel tells us, my mother always said. The scripture records that as an oracle his mother taught him, that's his way of saying, my mother always said. Well, the first question we ask is, who is this king, King Lemuel? I've never heard of him. What about his mother? Who's she? Well, we know nothing about them, really. We know nothing about them other than what we read in Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. This is it. And so we can infer some things, though, from this passage of Scripture about King Lemuel and his mother. Neither Israel nor Judah had a King Lemuel. That means King Lemuel and his mother must be Gentiles. He must have been a Gentile king. And that explains why the Hebrew text of these nine verses includes some words borrowed from other languages like Aramaic or even Arabic. There's some Arabic words that fit in here. Maybe they were from Arabia. Who knows? But what this means for us is that Proverbs 31, 1 through 9 is not only for Jews, but is also for Gentiles. It was spoken by Gentiles, found its way in the Old Testament scriptures. And so it's for us right here. It's for us Gentiles. For you and for me. However, although Lemuel and his mother are not Israelite, they must have heard about the God of Israel and they must have loved the God of Israel, for the name Lemuel means dedicated to God. Lemuel, dedicated to God. And so we can infer that when Lemuel's mother named him, she dedicated him to God. There's something else we can infer from the text about Lemuel's mother. She considers her teaching to be important. It's the kind of thing that must have kept her awake at night, pondering and reflecting and praying what she was going to say and teach to her son. We see that from the Hebrew word translated oracle, masah. It means burden, or it means a weighty word. A weighty word. Lemuel's mother is burdened with what she has to teach him. It's weighing on her. Moms, have you ever had something you wanted to teach to your children and it was weighing on you? It was something you were burdened with. Maybe it kept you awake at night. It just weighed on you as a mom. Well, that's what Lemuel's mother is going through as she forms her teaching to Lemuel. And that tells us something about us as well. Since these words of Lemuel's mom are weighty, and these weighty words are recorded for us in Scripture, then we need to listen to them. We need to listen to the burden of Lemuel's mother. Even if you, like me, are not a mother, we need to listen to what Lemuel's mother teaches her son, because these are weighty words. They're significant. They're important. And her words are weighty words spoken to all of us in God's Word. And weighty words such as these are often not pleasant, and as we exposit them, we'll be confronted with some things that we'd rather not hear on Mother's Day, but they're needful for us to hear because they're so weighty and they're in God's Word. There's another thing we can infer from the text about Lemuel and Lemuel's mom who taught him so well. Lemuel's mother must have had a close relationship with him because she traces her relationship with Lemuel back through time. She calls him, "Oh, my son." This is her relationship with him as she is teaching him, as she is sharing with him her burden, her weighty word. "Oh, my son." Her relationship with him right now as she tells him what's weighing on her heart. But then she goes backwards through time. "Oh, son of my womb." And this is her relationship with him during pregnancy. Now, I've never been pregnant, but I've been told that there's a bond between a mother and a child when the child is in the mother's womb. And this is where Lemuel's mother is thinking back to her relationship with him during her pregnancy. But then she goes even further back in time. Back to the vows that she made evidently even before her pregnancy. Her relationship with him now, "Oh my son." Her relationship with him during pregnancy, "Oh son of my womb." And her relationship with him even before he was conceived. "O son of my vows." Well, what vows would she be talking about? Remember what the name Lemuel means? It means dedicated to God. Lemuel. Dedicated to God. Lemuel's mother must have taken a vow before pregnancy that if God would give her a son, she would dedicate him to God. Much like the vow that Hannah took before becoming pregnant with Samuel. She must have prayed, "Lord, if you will give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." Lemuel. That was her vow, even before her pregnancy. All this we can infer from the passage. So Lemuel's mother has a close relationship with him as she teaches him, "Oh, my son, son of my womb, son of my vows." What a deep and abiding relationship. Moms and dads for that purpose. The effectiveness of your teaching to your children depends on the closeness of your relationship with your children. The effectiveness of your word depends on the closeness of your relationship. Nurture a close relationship with your children. Then you can teach them effectively in the environment of that relationship. A child inhales parental teaching in the atmosphere of relationship. She has a deep relationship with Lemuel. "My son, son of my womb, son of my vows." He's going to listen. He's going to take to heart what she teaches because of that abiding relationship that goes back even before he was conceived. A child inhales parental teaching in the atmosphere of relationship. And so, in these first 9 verses of Proverbs 31, we already tell that this mother has dedicated her son to God, and she leverages her close relationship with him to teach him these weighty words. And the Holy Spirit has seen fit to inspire these weighty words in the Scripture so that her teaching is passed on to us. King Lemuel tells us, "My mother always said." Well, what is it that King Lemuel's mother always said? We're about to find out. But it really comes down to this. Lemuel, you're going to be king someday. So don't use your power to serve yourself. Use your power to take care of the poor and needy. As we'll see after we've exposited this passage, that's the essence of her teaching. You're going to be king. Don't use your power to serve yourself. Use your power to care for the poor and the needy. And in this, she sets a pattern for what mothers should teach their children today. That's why it's in God's Word. That's why the Holy Spirit has given it to us. It's a pattern for us in our teaching of our children, moms and dads. Now, our children will not grow up to be literal kings and queens, but they will grow up to have some influence, some power. Our children will grow up to be business people and teachers. They'll grow up to hold leadership positions in churches. Maybe some of them will be elected to city council. They'll grow up to be managers and supervisors in the workplace. Many of them will grow up to be parents themselves with children of their own. And so we need to give the same teaching to our children that Lemuel's mom gives to him. Don't use your power to serve yourself. Use your power to take care of the poor and the needy. This is a weighty word, isn't it? These words are weighty. And it's a word that we need to pass on to our children. And so we see then that wise mothers teach their children to love their neighbor in need. Love your neighbor. Hopefully, many of us are thinking, oh, that's part of our disciple-making pathway. Love God with all we are. Love one another as Christ has loved us. And love our neighbor as ourselves. And wise mothers teach their children to do that. Wise mothers teach their children to love their neighbor in need. And wise fathers do the same. You know, so often when we're called to do something, we need to get rid of the things that are in the way. And we need to do that in this instance. In order to love our neighbor, we need to get rid of those things that prevent us or impede us from loving our neighbor. And so we see from the mother of King Lemuel's weighty words that wise mothers warn their children against unrestrained consumptions that bring destruction. Because these unrestrained consumptions get in the way of loving our neighbor. Verse 3. Do not spend your strength on women, my son, your vigor on those who ruin kings. I wonder if this kept Lemuel's mother awake at night. Because here she has a burden. She has a weighty word. It's weighing on her. She's worried that when Lemuel becomes king, he will try to build a large harem. Because, after all, that's what ancient kings did. They collected harems. But it was an unrestrained consumption that could bring destruction. King Solomon found that out the hard way. King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And it was a sign of his wealth and his power. When you were an ancient king, the more wives and concubines that you had, that the more powerful you were seen to be in the eyes of your nation and other nations. And King Solomon's many, 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 many wives led him to turn his heart away from the Lord and toward false gods. And even built altars to false gods on the hills surrounding Jerusalem so his wives could worship their gods there. And God brought judgment because of that. It tore Solomon's kingdom in two after he died. And so Solomon's harem, his many wives, his harem, was an unrestrained consumption that actually brought a rift, a destruction to his kingdom. Unrestrained consumptions bring destruction. And we need to warn our children. We have a lot of harems today. Virtual harems. It's the harem of pornography. Our culture is diseased with this unrestrained consumption of pornography. It's our harem in 21st century America. And pornography addiction destroys families. It rewires the brain into a pattern of thinking that leads to destruction. I've seen it happen. Students dabbling in pornography now can sow seeds of destruction into your marriage later, even before you meet your spouse, because it rewires the brain in that direction. And Satan front loads the pleasure and back loads the pain, and the pain will cost you more than you thought you would pay. Always does. That's his trick. And so, moms and dads, make sure you have filtering and accountability software, and make sure your kids have it too. And like Lemuel's mother, warn your children of the internet harem that ruins. Now, Lemuel's mother warns of yet another unrestrained consumption. Verses 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. A king's job is to protect the rights of those who are too weak to protect their own rights. And too much alcohol can make a king forget his job and fail to protect the needy, and alcohol abuse can keep the king from doing his job. That's what Lemuel's mother is telling him. Alcohol abuse can keep people from doing their job. We've all seen it. How many jobs have been lost? How many families broken? How many lives snuffed out from substance abuse? These words are weighty, not pleasant, but these are the weighty words of Lemuel's mother, and we need to pay attention to her because it's God's word. So Lemuel's mother gives him a weighty word about harems and about alcohol that serve as a pattern for parents today. Wise parents warn their children against unrestrained consumptions that bring destruction. Lemuel's mother's worried that unrestrained consumptions would lead him to be so self-absorbed that he would serve himself. And she's saying, don't let these consumptions control you so that you use your power and wealth to serve only yourself. Because you see, her driving concern, the place where she's going in her teaching, is for her son to use his power and his wealth to serve the poor. So as we continue listening to her burden, her weighty word, we see also that wise mothers encourage their children toward loving actions that help the needy. Verses 6 and 7. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Well, free beer for the poor. Pastor Chris, what are you going to do with this one? Free beer for the poor. Should our church start a free beer for the poor ministry? Who wants to head up that committee? Well, no, that's not what this is saying at all. Remember, it's poetry. It's poetry. And Lemuel's mother is being sarcastic in order to make a point. We need to read verses 6 and 7 in the light of verses 4 through 5. And then we get this message. Don't use your abundance to indulge yourself. Use your abundance to comfort the poor. That's what Lemuel's mother is saying. Verses 4 and 5, don't use your abundance to indulge yourself. Verses 6 and 7, use your abundance to comfort the poor. It's a word picture to get that message across. In our culture of material wealth, that's a lesson for parents to teach their children. Don't use your abundance to indulge yourself. Use your abundance to comfort the poor. Now, Lemuel's mother commends another loving action to help the needy. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. In other words, speak up for those who are too powerless to defend themselves. Secure the rights of the destitute. Those who are in a position where their voice is not heard. You speak up for them, Lemuel. And defend those who are too poor to defend themselves, because they find themselves outside of the power structures of society. So from Lemuel's mother, we learn that wise parents teach their kids to use their abundance to provide for the poor and to use their voice to speak up for the needy. Wise parents encourage their children to loving actions that help the needy. Well, the words of King Lemuel's mother reminds me of the words of a greater king, King Jesus. King Lemuel's mother says, do loving actions that help the needy. King Jesus expands on that. Then Jesus said to his host, he's at dinner, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is saying this, use your abundance to serve those who cannot reciprocate. Take those gifts that God has given to you. Take your bag of my candy and share it with those who have no candy to share back with you. That's what Lemuel's mother is saying. That's what King Jesus is saying. Can we teach the upcoming emerging generation to do this? Can we teach our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and our granddaughters to love their neighbor by serving those who are too weak to reciprocate? If we as a church are planning an outreach and we're asking what's in it for us, we're asking the wrong question. Because Jesus is telling us to serve those who cannot reciprocate. That's why we had a justice conference this past fall. That's why we're starting a Ministry of Biblical Justice Initiatives. Rhonda's spearheading it. She's in charge of it. And it begins with learning God's heart for justice. And so Rhonda's initiating a book club that will encourage us and our children toward loving actions that help the needy by doing justice on their behalf, even if they cannot reciprocate. Let's open our eyes to caring for orphans, alleviating poverty, fighting human trafficking, pursuing racial reconciliation, caring for widows and immigrants. God's delighted when we use our abundance to serve those who cannot reciprocate. As King Lemuel's mother puts it, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. God's pleased when we practice loving actions that help the needy. As we read in James, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. Two things. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. Loving actions that help the needy. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Keep yourself from being polluted by those unrestrained consumptions that destroy. James is giving us a mirror reflection of the burden of King Lemuel's mother. Look after orphans and widows in their distress. Loving actions that serve the needy. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Stay away from those unrestrained consumptions. Worldly ones that destroy. So from Lemuel's mother, we learn that wise mothers teach their children to love their neighbor in need. Wise parents warn their children about the destruction of unrestrained consumptions that keep us so self-absorbed that we're not even paying attention to the needy. And wise parents put their children on a path of comforting the poor and speaking up for the defenseless and serving those who cannot reciprocate. Wise parents teach their children to use the influence they have, the power they have, the wealth they have, not to indulge themselves, but to serve the needy. Now, how can we do that today? After all, we're not literal kings and queens, as Lemuel was. What can we do? Whenever I read through the book of Ephesians, I'm particularly challenged by Ephesians 4, verse 28. It jumps out at me all the time. It never fails to grab me, no matter how many times I've read it. It says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Now, if someone asks you why you go to work every morning or every evening, you probably would respond, well, to support my family. And that's a very good purpose for work. Support my family. In Ephesians, we find a second purpose for work that we often neglect, so that we can have something to share with those in need. One purpose of work is to provide for the poor. We miss that, don't we? But that's what the scripture says right here, and it grabs me every time I read it. What have we committed a part of each paycheck to share with those in need? What have we set aside a portion of each paycheck to feed the hungry? What have we dedicated a part of every paycheck to sponsor a needy child? There are so many who need that. What have we taught our children to do the same with their income? What have we taught our children to set aside a part of their allowance or a part of their paycheck to share with those in need, even as we did the same? What if we gave my candy to those who desperately need it and can't give us theirs because they don't have any? Then we would be living out the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might become rich. Then, with both our weighty words and our loving actions, we'd be teaching our children to love their neighbor in need. And then we'd all be together on that disciple-making pathway, living God's love by loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the challenge of the weighty words of King Lemuel's mother. How will we respond? Because they're not only her words, they're God's word.